is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
I give glory to God for being alive today. I said for being alive. And this being the month of February, we must recognize Black History Month. And I just left the west side of Cleveland preaching to almost an auditorium full of people. And the people that were sitting there were Black, white, Hispanic. And Martin King's dream was not that just Blacks would do well, but he said that the Sunday morning worship hour was the most segregated worship hour of the day, because Blacks worship with Blacks, whites worship with whites, Hispanics with Hispanics. But today I had Black people sit next to white people. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, we've come a long way, baby. We come a long way. And I want to say to all of you that if you are 30 and under, then you really don't remember some of the struggle that our parents and my father, if you're 40-something or better, maybe you've been called the N-word in public, or you've been called some other names. And so even though we celebrate what God is doing now, never let us forget the struggle of Dr. King and Mega Evers and Sojourner Truth. And come on, somebody. Amen. Because I cannot imagine not being able to go to whatever bathroom I want to or drink out of whatever water fountain. I've never even experienced that. So I believe it would be horrific for us to forget the struggle because of how good we got it now. So I think we should just give all of the people who fought for our rights. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Get your Bibles with me real quick. Get your Bibles with me and go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, and then I'll let you sit down in a moment. I began a series a few weeks ago called Focus on the Family. We're in our fourth installment. It is in this series that I'm attempting to get the family back to where God wants the family. I'm teaching this from a biblical perspective, not a street perspective, not an Ebony magazine perspective, not an Oprah perspective. All the things that have trained us, we really want to reteach ourselves to be kingdom minded. Amen. How many of you want to do it the way God says do it? So again, to our singles, it's a wonderful time to pay attention because you have an opportunity to learn what to look for and how to be before you get married, as opposed to on the other side of your marriage. To those of you that are divorcees, to those of you that are made mistakes, let's see what God said, what maybe no one else had ever taught us, so we can get to the next level. When you have Ephesians, amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. I want to talk about submission, the other S word. Go ahead and be seated. Submission, the other S word. I tried last week. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I tried last week. I did my best to explain to men how important it was to love your wives. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I tried my best to speak to men about agape love, that you love your wife in spite of, not just because of. I tried to teach the men who have been raised by the streets that God has another agenda for your wife and that she's your most important asset. I tried my best to tell men what God has to say. I don't know how good of a job I did, but I know I did my best. And today, with the same tenacity, I want to speak to women about how to be subject to their own husbands or submitted to their own husbands. Now, last week, women were shouting and running and crying. And I'm hoping that today, women will be just as aggressive in their pursuit of a shout as they were on last week. I guess the first thing we need to do is define submission before we go another further. Because Webster says that submission is to yield to the will or authority of. So when I see the word submission, the first thing I start tripping on is the word yield. And what does yield mean? Well, let's think about it. Yield. Well, I think about when I'm driving and I see a yield sign. And while I'm driving, it says yield. Now, because I understand how to drive, I know that yield doesn't mean stop. Yield means slow down. And if the other car chooses to go first, let them go. If they give you the right of way, then you flow. But even if they do go first, you don't have to stop. You just have to slow down long enough to let them go and then flow right in behind them. And if it goes well, it's real smooth. Yielding to your husband does not mean that you cease to be. Because the unfortunate reality is that most women think that to submit means to stop, or he's attempting to take away who I am, or to rob me of my identity, in particular, if you had a domineering mother. Did I go there? In particular, if you had a mother who was loud and ran everybody and everybody's business and told your father what to do, and your father sat in the chair quiet because he was scared. Didn't nobody want to mess with Mama Miss Mabel because Mama Miss Mabel cussed everybody out. And then if you left Big Mama run everybody and then hooked up with some dumb men, now you don't trust men because you've had some bad ones. Plus, you never saw submission in your house. So then you get married and you bring all the pains and messed up stuff from your past into your marriage with your kingdom husband. And there's a lot of confusion because you don't know how to submit because you've never seen it. I thought it'd be kind of quiet today. Your wives, submit to your husbands, verse 22, as you do to the Lord. Now, this is vital. As to the Lord does not mean that a wife is to submit to her husband in the same way she submits to the Lord, but rather that her submission to her husband is her service rendered to the Lord. In other words, come here. He is not Jesus. There isn't but one Jesus in your life. So when you submit to your husband, you do not submit to him like you submit to Jesus, because doing that, you'd be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God. And the problem is we often confuse submission with stupidity, because stupidity has many of the characteristics of submission. Oh, they don't know what I said. I'll back that thing up. Every woman you see running behind a man is not submitted. Sometimes they're stupid. Because the Bible does not say that a woman should submit to a man. The Bible says that a wife should submit to her husband, not the man of the month. And so every man that you date who's the man of the month, and you and the children know he won't be there long, and you're running around, it has the appearance of submission, because remember that stupidity has some of the characteristics of submission. Because submission means to follow. And sometimes stupidity means to follow, but you're following out of afraidness that no one else will love you, or lack of self-esteem. So, I want to make this very clear. God has called every wife to submit to her husband, not every woman to submit to every man. You see, look at a brother and say, you ain't my husband. I don't know who you think you are. Praise the Lord. Now, also it says, watch this, in verse 24, in every lawful thing. So I submit to you, watch this, as much as I can without breaking the heart of God. If it ever comes between you and God, you lose. So you say, bring you something to eat, I'll do that. You say, smoke a joint with you, I can't go there. Well, I'll divorce you, goodbye. Well, why we can't go out no more? We used to go out because I'm saved now. I can't go to clubs with you, but I will go to a movie. You're my husband, but I can't break God's heart to please you. So in every lawful thing, if it's biblical or if it does not offend the Bible, you should do it. Let's talk about this. So then we dealt with the word yield. So the Bible tells men to love and women to submit. Wow, let's deal with this, because last week I began to deal with the love languages. How many of you remember last week, The Love Languages by Gary Chapman? It's in the bookstore. You can get it, because I asked men, do you know your wife? Remember, I'm not talking to fiancés, boyfriends, and girlfriends. I'm talking to husbands and wives. Do you know the language of your wife? And I gave them to you, and let's go over them again. Say them after me. Number one, words of affirmation. Number two, receiving gifts. Number three, quality time. Number four, acts of service. Number five, physical touch. Which one of these are your spouse's language? Which one of these turn him on the most? Which one of these drive him the most? Now, these same five characteristics also apply to men. So if you know your husband, which one of the five drives him? Number one, watch this, words of affirmation. Well, men like that, because you know what men love to hear? You the man. Man, we have this ego thing, and when you're speaking to us, even if it's not true, we still like to hear it. We like to hear that you're great and you're a good provider, and I'm glad God put you in my life. Because here's something I don't want you to laugh at, because it's serious. Men, I told you this before, go to strip clubs to hear strippers lie to them, because their lie sounds better than your truth. And so you don't have sex in strip clubs, but all women do is sit on your lap and lie to you, and you pay them money to lie. But men get broke in strip clubs trying to hear a word of affirmation, because all that comes out your mouth is, you don't make enough money, and you're stupid, and you don't do enough. All you do is play the game all day. You don't love the babies. You don't do this. And you're like, I don't hear no women saying amen. So you never look at me, allow another woman to say more good things to your husband than you. There are too many women who don't say enough and then get in line when your husband cheats and say, how did he do that, Pastor? I say, well, what did you say to him? Have you spoken to him? Have you told him he's wonderful? Is he going over there for sex, or is he going over there to hear somebody tell him he's somebody? No woman should ever out-talk you, because in particularly if you're married to, psychologically referred, an alpha male. An alpha male is one like myself who has a lot of people telling you you're great all the time. And so women get in line every week, and about 100 of them, Pastor, I love you. You changed my life. You changed my husband's life. We love you. Thank you, Pastor. Then I go home. And it can be a letdown, because you've been hearing great things all day, and then you get home to fussing. But my wife, praise God, speaks into me more than any little sister at the church. So when you tell me I'm great, that ain't the first time I heard it today, because she already, oh, come on, somebody up in here. You got to speak into your husband. But then number two, receiving gifts. Now, most men don't want you to buy them anything, because you buy the wrong thing anyway. I mean, my wife and kids gonna get me some ties one day. I thought they were trying to be funny when I looked at them ties. I said, well, y'all want me to wear this too? But what's wrong with that tie? Because number one, a man is thinking, I'm struggling already trying to make money work. Just respect me. Y'all ain't got to buy me nothing because I want all the money in the house and I'm trying to do some things. So, but women now, most women love to receive a little something, something. But that's not your husband's language. So what's his language? Number three, quality time. Now watch this. That's not a big thing with most men, or quantity of time. Hear me. It's not that he doesn't like being with you, but when the last time you ever heard a man saying, we don't spend enough time. I mean, when the last time you heard about, like, you don't never take me nowhere. Are you learning something? Don't get mad at him. That's not his language. He'd rather have it quick and good. See, y'all don't, can I teach the real, see, and here's, okay, see, y'all tripping, but, okay, men don't want a whole lot of time. We're working, we're trying to make it happen, we got to be here, we got to be there, so with our wife, we'd rather have a good hour. Well, not you. See, here's what you want. You want to go to dinner, then you want to talk at the movies. Then you want foreplay, and then maybe we just want to get to it. See, come on, all the men stood up and sit back down and say, I feel that, Pastor, I feel that. Don't leave me out here because I go home. I'm already tired. It's my third service. So if you want to know your husband, understand what turns him on. What turns him on is not a whole lot of time, but just some good time right quick. So as a woman, understand this, if you want a happy husband. I know there are nights I want him to romance me, but every now and then, my wife will walk up to me, and I'm sitting on the couch, and she'll say, you want to do this right quick? I'll be like, yeah! You know, ain't no foreplay, ain't no movie, ain't no writing no letters. Let's just go love down for a kata. I mean, and then let me go right back to my game and my cereal, man. Come on, brothers. Y'all help me preach this. We don't want to hold you afterwards. But we'll do it because you like that. We want to get back to the game and the cereal, man. See, a lot of women say, Pastor, that's so selfish. That's his language. Learn him like he needs to. We don't understand you either. But we're trying to get to understand you. So I'm trying to tell you how to hook a brother up. The quicker the better. We don't want to make love all night. We want to make love 20 good minutes. See, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not, I'm through with that. Don't, you know. Number four, acts of service. Number one, stay with me, words of affirmation. Number two, receiving gifts. Number three, quality time. Number four, acts of service. Now men, most men like that one. Let's talk about acts of service. My wife and I were in the bed the other night and after a little kissy poo was finished and I was laying there and I just need you to be straight with me because if you don't be straight, you know, I'm gonna leave because I'm gonna get mad and leave. So listen to me, I'm just messing with you. Now hear me. Have you ever been laying in the bed, brother? And you were thinking, I want some Kool-Aid. Shh, listen to me. I mean, the love was great. Now you're in the bed is comfortable. The bed feels so good, and the kitchen is way down there, man. But you're thinking, if I could just get some Kool-Aid and a burnt bologna sandwich with some cheese on it. Burnt, just burnt on the edges, just. I'm from the projects, y'all work with me. Now I'm just trying to, with some cheese on, just burnt, and I wanted to cut it in half, and a couple cookies, and I don't want a regular cup, I want my cup. You know, y'all know my cup, because I don't want to have to go back. Just put a bunch of ice in it, and just pour all the juice in there, man, and I'll work out the difference later. Just so I'm laying in the bed, man, and I said, baby, we both in the bed, comfortable, everything. I said, baby, I want some Kool-Aid and a sandwich. She was like, oh, I'll be right back. I was like, ooh, that's sexy to me, girl. Oh my God, did you feel that? I was like, you go, girl. Don't complain. Now, somebody, I ain't getting you no sandwich. I'm tired like you tired. I gotta go to work and who you think I am? My mom ain't raised no slave. I'm in the, no. She just got up, went and cooked what I wanted, brought it to me, no strings attached. And I ate it and got it all over the bed. And she ain't get mad. Oh, she did get mad at me about that, but that's another thing. Now, listen. She hate when I waste food in the bed. That's another sermon. Now, watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. Physical touch. Well, we all know men are sexual. So physical touch is important. What I'm teaching you is to learn the language of your husband so you can be submitted to that language. Now, because I love my wife, I understand there are other days she wants me to romance her all day. And I do that, and she wants me to talk to her and lay. And so you gotta do that. But women also understand every now and then, just give them a quick hookup and everything. And don't bother the brother because he's made different than you are. Do you know his language? Now, I wanna talk about this because I'm tripping on something. Because last week I said, husbands, love your wives according to Ephesians 5. At the end of the chapter, it says, and wives, see to it that you respect your husbands. Now, I'm tripping saying, why does he keep telling me to love and her to respect? Now, of course, the Bible wants her to love me. Of course, the Bible wants me to respect her. But why does it seem to stress respect to her and love to me? Because God made both of us, and he knows what both of us need the most. So he says, husbands, love your wives. But watch this. If my wife never said to me in the next 10 years, baby, I love you, I wouldn't care. That's not important for me to hear. But if I'm talking to my kids, I say, when I'm talking to the kids, don't interrupt me. And she says, okay. Because she understands that if she demeans me in front of my children, she just robbed me of who I am. So I don't feel like a man right now. So when I'm talking to my children, and I don't care if she disagrees with me, don't interrupt me when I'm talking to my children. Because they already need to know who I am. And if you take my authority by disrespecting me or interrupting me, then they won't know who I am. Well, if she respects me and cleans my children and my daughter's hair is combed and my son is lotioned up and my house is clean, that's love to me. Talk to me, women. But women want to hear, I love you. Men don't necessarily want to hear that. Love to us is respect, admiration, doing what I ask you to do sometime without always jumping down my throat. That's a woman who's loving me. But here's the problem, and particularly if I'm talking to my children, we got issues. Because sometime, because we all have not done it perfectly, thank God for the grace of God, the children aren't even mine. So they're already not mine. And then you interrupt me when I'm talking to them. They already don't respect me all the way because I'm not their real father. And then you're throwing up their other father at me, and shit, they're throwing it up. So all I do is pay bills and shut up, huh? So it becomes vital that the woman respect her husband and teach the children to respect her husband. Amen? Amen. Go to 1 Peter with me real quickly. 1 Peter. And I'm nearly done. 1 Peter 3. I want you to see this. 1 Peter 3. Now I'm going to read from the NLT version. When you have 1 Peter 3, say amen. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 3. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husband, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure and godly behavior. Let me vernonize that. Look at me. I have women in the line every week that say, my husband is not saved, or he is saved, but he does not walk like a Christian. And it's hard for me to be submitted to somebody who does not live the way you say they ought to live, Pastor. According to the text, the Bible is saying that if you are married to somebody who is not saved, that the way to get them saved is in your godly lives rather than in your sermons, baby. In other words, he will be won over by how broken you are before God. If you are married to a man that's not saved, you can't go home every week saying, Pastor Vernon said. That's why he don't like me now. You can't bring up my name because Pastor Vernon don't help you pay your rent. Pastor Vernon don't sleep with you. Pastor Vernon, he may not be the man you want him to be.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria.
Today, but I flow with the Spirit, and so I'm going to ask my guests to wait until I operate in this move right now. But I have some things I need to tell you. Now, I need you, quiet for a moment, quiet. I want you to get this word, and this is more important to me right now than anything. I want you to hear me read this scripture. I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to stand with me and turn it to Matthew 1. Those on the altar, stay there as long as you need to. Don't bother me at all. Amen. If you got to stay there the whole sermon, do what God tell you. If you want to get up, you can. It's up to you. Amen. Matthew. I want you to get chapter 1. I want you to get verse 18. I begin a series entitled Focus on the Family. I need you to hear me, because I feel that there is a stronghold on most families that I want to loosen this house. The first couple weeks I talked about marriage and divorce. How does a Christian get divorced? God hates divorce. We know that. Only very few reasons a Christian can get divorced. Not because I'm tired of him. Not because I didn't know it was going to be like this. Not because the children don't love me, not because the sex isn't what I thought it would be, not because I miss my ex, none of that stuff that people find reasons to divorce. Only a very few reasons, and they're biblical, that a person can get divorced in God's eyes. So if you haven't been here, you need to stop at the tape line. If you're contemplating divorce or you're tired of being married and the enemy's telling you to end it, make sure you have proper grounds so that you don't walk in some sort of curse by being disobedient. Then I talked about when a man loves a woman. And I stress to you the importance of loving your wife. And most men in this room, player, playboy, whatever you think, do not know how to love a woman properly with godly love, because it takes more to please one woman 30 years than 30 women for 2 years. But that'll hit you Tuesday. Amen. Make one woman love you forever. That's a real man. So I need you to hear me. Love her at her worst. Love her when she doesn't clean up. Love her when she doesn't cook. Love her when she doesn't make love to you because of feminine or evil reasons. Just love her. Love her like Jesus loved you, unconditionally. That's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for all men to just love. He doesn't tell me to love her if she's a good wife. He just tells me to love her. How many men are loving like that? That's how you get a blessing, brother. Then I talked about wives, submit or be subject to your husband. Don't be subject to your husband if he's a good boy. But do what he says when he's not a great man. Because he doesn't know as many scriptures as Pastor Vernon, he's your husband. He wasn't saved when you met him. He didn't know the word when you met him, so you can't go run after a church boy now. And sometimes the church boy will treat you worse than the guy you got. Right? So you have to love and submit even to a man who doesn't know the Bible. We pray, brothers, that you would get to know the Bible and get to love God, because you can't be a good husband without God. But until he gets there, woman of God, he's your husband. You should honor him way more than you honor me or anyone else. That's your husband, saved or unsaved. Do what he says. He says he wants something to eat, make it. Make love to him. Do it. Don't care what your friends say. They're not kingdom as you are. And then last week I talked about married with children. Because now that it's both of us, how do we now raise our children? What is the father's role? Most men don't know how to be fathers. They just know how to make children. Most women are more interested in getting degrees and being cute than being mothers. Learning how to cook. I'm tired of women that can't make cakes. Look at your neighbor and say, you better make me a cake. I'm telling you. Real macaroni, real cornbread, real biscuits. Amen. So I am deprogramming all the sister girls that I want you to learn to be a mother and a wife before you get a degree. Get a degree, that's beautiful, but do you know how to be a wife and mother? Because I believe that 99% of you want to be married one day. So what good is a degree if you don't know how to be a mother and a wife? So this week, I want you to look with me at Matthew 1. Do you have it? Verse 18 says, watch this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, they were found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her or desire to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. I want to talk about raising somebody else's child. Or the blended family. Be seated in the house of God. Amen. Ushers, assist me with loud children today because I want to make sure everybody gets this word. Assist me with any children that's too loud because I got to make sure you get this. This is serious to me. Now, please hear me. I've been talking over the last few weeks to families, as it were, traditionally. What do I mean traditional families? Families that there is the husband, the wife, and the children. Why have I stressed that? Because it's God's way. I've stressed the fact, because there are teenagers here and singles here who still have a chance, that do not make children before you get married. Do not sleep with anybody before you get married. Only have children with your husband after you are married. Only with your wife after you are married. That's God's way. That's God's biblical way, and so that's why I preached that for the last few weeks. But I think if there's a reason why this church is crowded every Sunday and people join by the 50s each week, I think it is because people want to come to a place where the pastor preaches life. Let's talk about life. There cannot be true deliverance until there is true transparency from the pulpit. You cannot get folk delivered if you're pretending to be Mr. Clean. Sometimes you got to get dirty with them. You got to let them see that there's some issues in your life and there's issues in the church's life and there's issues with everybody. So if you're here today for the first time and your life is jacked up, you're in the right place. Because most of us are jacked up too. But we just got Jesus, that's all. Here's the reality. Most couples in this room did not do it the Genesis 2 before Genesis 4 way. Most of us have had issues in our life, and so now we are forced to deal with something. What are we forced to deal with? The fact that now there is a child in the house that perhaps is not mine. My wife has a child, or my husband has a child. We are a blended family. The reason why I chose Brother Joseph is because most people miss that story and it sneaks you. Because if you think about it, Joseph is Jesus's dad, watch this, but he's not his real dad. Joseph is raising a child he didn't make. And so you notice in Matthew, the Bible says that God comes to Joseph and says, brother, I'm giving you an assignment to raise a child you didn't make. Now, here's what I want to lay, first of all, in order to really substantiate my argument, it is important to understand the Hebrew custom of marriage as you read that text exegetically. Because marriages were arranged for individuals by parents and contracts were negotiated. You see, back in the day, or Bible day, your parents negotiated your contract. So if you wanted a sister, you had to pay dad a little something. Touch a woman and say, baby, you're expensive. Act like it. I'm thinking about doing the same thing at the Word Church. You can't marry none of my daughter unless you pay me. Because I'm the one trained that'll love you right. And maybe I need to charge you so you understand how much she's worth. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm just messing with you. But I do say this. You are expensive. Here's what happened. You got engaged, as it were, but it was as binding as marriage. The first year while you were engaged, you lived with your parents. He lived with his parents. Watch this. And you did not have any sexual activity during that year, even though you were legally, as it were, married already, but you were waiting on the wedding day. Now watch this. It was so, engagement was so binding that if your fiance died, you were considered a widow. Because in people's mind, once you were engaged, that was it. Now, on the day of the wedding, here I come, the husband would have a band processional. He would come marching down the street with people singing and playing instruments on his way to get his wife because it was an exciting day and the wife would be ready for a husband. So people took marriage serious and it caused women to understand how valuable you were. Now catch this. Thus sets the tone for the understanding of Joseph who gets a call from Mary and Mary says, hey, Joe, I'm pregnant. I'm praying about Jesus. No, I'm having Jesus. I'm praying about God. That's all. It's all crazy. Wait. What you say, Mary? I'm pregnant by God. Now, you know, I would tell you, Lady Vernon, come talking about she praying about Jesus. I'm going to say, you got to go live with Jesus. Amen. No, take your married by Jesus self and go live with Jesus. Come on now. You know, homie don't play that. Amen. Now, watch this. Joseph is tripping because he says, I can't deal with this. And I don't have time because we shouted. Y'all took 10 of my minutes. So watch this. Because if I had time, I'd take you to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, you read when you get home. Somebody's Deuteronomy, I want you to look at chapter 22. Don't turn now. Write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 through 24. The Bible says that if you found your wife cheating or the woman you were engaged to, you could take her to the middle of the city and stone her to death. So Joseph was supposed to take Mary out to the middle of the city, get everybody in the city to throw bricks at her until she was dead. Here goes my first point. But God comes to him and says, this is more than you can handle. That's preaching stuff right there. Because when something overwhelms you, he'll send you a word to speak into your life because God knows when we're about to have a nervous breakdown. So when God knows you can't take no more, he'll send you a word, whether it be from your pastor on a Sunday. That's a whole nother, don't worry. But watch this. The word comes to Joe and says, Joe, don't stone her. And don't put her away. She's pregnant by me. And you are on divine assignment to take care of somebody else's baby. Watch this. Are you on divine assignment? A divine assignment is when God comes to you and says, there's a sister, a brother who already has a child. But I'm going to put you in their life. And even though some things won't be perfect, this is a divine assignment because you've been picked to do what maybe the father would never do. You've been picked to do or add to what the mother's already doing. Because sometimes a person can have a mother that's not saved, and if they hadn't met you, they would have never heard about Jesus. So you don't know why God put you in somebody's life and for what reason. Now, Joseph loves her, the Bible says, because he loved her. Let me lay it, then it'll get good. He did not want to put her away because he had agape love for her. So the first thing I need, if I'm going to raise somebody else's child, I need God in my life. And I need agape love to help me put up with some stuff that's going to bother me at times. Let me tell you why you need God's love. Because agape love never exposes the other's faults or inadequacies. See, if I got godly love, I ain't going to throw your past up at you. I ain't going to throw up the fact that you had a baby when I met you. I ain't going to throw up the fact that you've been with all these women. Because we really got dirt on each other anyway. And whoever you're sitting next to ain't all of that. Touch them and say, you ain't all that. Go ahead. He loved her enough to spare her life. Now, this is something I need to tell you. A divine assignment is when God says to Joseph, raise somebody else's child, brother, and do it to the best of your ability because, Joseph, the brother you're raising is going to change the world. That'll hit you Tuesday. But catch this, catch this. If you are single up in here and you don't want nobody with children, watch this, you are not wrong. I'm coming. I felt it. One thing I can't stand is a woman with children, well, he's selfish. He ain't selfish. Them your kids. Well, why you don't like my kids? Because they bad. And I don't want to deal with the baby's father. And I didn't go to school for 8 years and get a degree to put up with this. I don't have to, and I'm not wrong. And you can't get mad at somebody who don't want your kids. I don't want Shadrach, Meshach, and that little bad nigger. I just don't want them. No, no, no. I don't like when women get offended. See, watch this. Some people aren't built for that. There are women who don't want another man's child. I don't have none. I don't want yours. No little boy grows up and says, Mommy, when I get old, I want a woman with a baby. And I want the baby's father to come over every other weekend and knock on my door where I pay rent. That's what I want when I grow up. Nobody wants that. So if you have a child and a brother or sister doesn't want you, they are not wrong. They are honest. Here's the only problem I got. If that's you, brother, don't even look at a sister that got children. If that's you, don't look at a brother. Say, what's your name? You got some babies? Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. Thank you. See you at church. No, don't want your babies. No, you ain't the one. So I wanted to lay that. But to those of us, transparency's in the house, who are on divine assignment, if you're going to do it, then do it, brother. Do it, sister, and do it in the power of God, and don't look back, and don't have no regrets. So let's deal with it, because there are many of us in this room who are on divine assignment. There's a child in our house we did not make. We can't go backwards. We don't have no chances to decide no more. This is where we are now. How do we get a semblance of happiness and understand that we are not less? And by the way, I'll say it again, to you sisters and brothers with no children, don't be around here acting like you've been Mother Teresa. It's easy not to have a baby. At least she had the courage to have the baby. Did I have the baby? Don't brag, I ain't got no children, you didn't have four. Don't be acting like you're better because you have not been a virgin. I'm not knocking you, all of us, my mama, my daddy, me, everybody I know that made some mistakes. I'm simply saying that's why we can't be arrogant in church. People just don't know your dirt, but you got some. So you ought to hug everybody and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank God I'm alive. So the women with children are not the less than women. No. The men with children, no, all of us have done some stuff. Some of us had the baby. Some of us did things to get rid of the baby, but we haven't been perfect. So let's just stop being phony in church, number one, and quit looking down on people, because sometimes the people with the crazy life is doing better than you with your little perfect life because you acting phony. At least they being real. When I look at the number of single people in my church that have children, when I look at the number of women and the number of men that have children, the Holy Spirit indicated to me, apparently, there's some brothers and sisters who must take on divine assignments. Because some of the best women I know in my church have children. They have no children, but they are beautiful. They are kingdom, and they didn't get this teaching 4 years ago, or they wouldn't even have a child. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a mother that taught. Or they would, but now they do. But they are cold. They are beautiful. They are educated. And I believe somebody has to marry them. I don't think they're supposed to stay by themselves forever because they made mistakes. So in that case, that means there's some men and women who are going to take on divine assignments, because I believe there's going to be some holy hookups this year. God will hook some folk together. Come on, somebody. I want the folk in my church to marry each other. You might as well marry somebody at the Word, because ain't nobody else going to understand this church. Amen. I mean, you're going to get him from one of them bound churches, he ain't going to make it here. You're going to get him. Am I doing pretty good so far? Watch this. Number one, he loved her. Takes agape love. Number two, this is important, he got a word from God that he was on divine assignment. He got a word from God. Did God tell you to marry them? Hear me. Did God tell you to do it? Not just because you thought she was cute and or to get in the bed with her or all that kind of thing. We get married for the wrong crazy reasons. God got to tell you before you raise somebody else's child. All right? Number three, watch this. He had courage and strength. You know when Joseph got to the barbershop and said in Jerusalem, Jerusalem's barbershop, and said, yeah, you know my girl pregnant by God. People's like, congratulations. He lying. You know, church people can be a little funny and all that kind of thing. So, you know, people was talking, saying, you know, I heard that, you know, pastor ain't got, I heard pastor babies and, you know, people, you know, so you got to have strength. You know, people whisper, and you ain't even got to whisper. Just ask me. I'll tell you anything you want to know, because ain't no shame in my game. Amen. But you got to understand. You got to, you know, people whisper, you know, you got to have strength and courage, because people, you know, it ain't what you think. I heard them babies ain't his. I heard them babies ain't hers. And so, you know, you got to have courage and strength, because people be talking and all that. And you got to know who you are and be man enough to walk in who you are and woman enough to walk in who you are. You with me here? So why do I need courage and strength? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, because oftentimes you have to deal, got a role, y'all, with a third party. Nobody likes to deal with a third adult. Look at me, courage and strength. Why is it so funny and awkward every weekend or every other weekend? Because it was never God's will for there to be a third adult in your life. I'm teaching here. No matter if we've messed up, it was never God's will for there to be three parents of a child. God's will was two parents. But since we've messed up and we need the grace of God and we got to go on from here, now we got to have the strength to understand that the third party has as much right to see their child as you and I do. I didn't divorce the children, I divorced you. I didn't break up with the children, I broke up with you. And sometimes you're the one cheated and you got the kids. Did he go there again? Oh, by the way, Judge, I'm asking you, why do the women get to keep the kids if they messed up? I'll be down there to talk about that. Amen, amen, amen. That's another sermon. But now, hear me. So a third party, which means you got to have the strength, and let's be honest, it's not just the crazy baby's mama or the crazy baby's father, but even if the other person has sense, you still don't want to see them. Because they remind you of someone else, and you don't want that. So you got to have strength and courage to understand, I have to find a way to have relationship, because this is a reality in my life until these children get 18, and I can't cry over spilled milk. We got to find a way to be intelligent, and all of us love this child or love these children, and find out a way to make it work without acting all stupid, because we all got a deal here. Number two, the reason why you need courage and strength is because sometimes you feel like an outsider initially. A lot of time, and this is for much counsel, and I don't say this just theoretically, but I say it experientially. I've lived this, living this, watched this, counsel people about this, so I got all the reasons to be good at what I'm preaching today, trust me. Now hear me, initially sometime, when you first get married and there are children, and you see the children in the bed with the mom, or you feel like, who am I? You know, you feel like I got to find my way here because they got this bond already. And sometimes I feel like if me and her argue, the child definitely going to side with her. So I'm just in the house watching TV. And ain't nobody talking to me. The dog walked away from me. I was like, come on. He was like, rough, man, rough. You ain't rough. You ain't right, man, rough. You tripping, hub. You tripping. Amen. Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. And then watch this. Being called the other S word. Other S word is submission, but the other S word is step. I'm not no step. You walk up steps. I'm not no step. Now, I want you to learn this. If you are a man here, and there are many of you, and your children live with another brother, or your children live with another woman, if you're a woman, there's a part of you that hates the idea of them calling someone else dad or mom. That's a reality that bothers most of us. But remember, we all messed up. So there's some realities we got to accept, and that is that if there's a kingdom woman or a kingdom man that's trying to love your child in that house, you must accept the fact that your child will now have two dads or two moms, because that's the way it is. At least they're trying to love the child. You got to put up with that reality and not be selfish. I don't want to be called step, because that ain't no step gas bill I paid. That ain't no step truck y'all riding in, man. That ain't no step bed you laid your head on last night. So we need to realize that we need to embrace the person as one of our parents now. It's better to say, I'm blessed with two dads. I'm blessed with two moms. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Not, well, this is my dad. This is my step. Don't introduce me like that. Make me feel like I got AIDS or something. Don't be. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, understand this. Understand that this is important. Watch this. I believe, y'all look at me, that there is a 2 to 5 year meshing period. Now, y'all look at me. I believe that if you marry somebody and they have children and you have children, that for the first couple years, please watch this, there is an adjustment period. Be grown enough to understand that. You can't do things out of the will of God and then think it's going to be just perfect right away. You have to have the strength and the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, while we're going through this process of filling each other, give us the grace and the courage to do it with love. You know, when you first come in a child's life, friends, please hear me, whether the father's in their life or out of their life, they are grieving. Somebody say grieving. That's the word I want you to get familiar with. That's why you got to go to grief recovery, because my father or my real mother or my real father is not in my life. I'm grieving that. They may not tell you that, but they're thinking about that. And so now here's this other fellow, this other woman in the house, and I lost my real father. I don't know why he doesn't want me or where he went. And now here you are, and I'm not sure how to handle you. And so even though you're married to my mother now, I got to get a little used to what you're going to be about. Are you the real thing? Are you going to love me like, leave me like my other daddy did, or leave me like my other mother did? So they're filling things out. And guess what? You got to have enough courage to put up with that. Watch this. You got to love their mother or their father in front of them before they trust you. I remember growing up, my mom and father didn't make it. And so my mother was young and single, and to her credit, I just don't remember hardly any man ever being on in our house. She just really never disrespected us like that. But every now and then, she would date a guy, and man, if he raised his voice a little bit, I'd come downstairs like, Ma, everything all right? Ma, what's up, brother? How you doing? Ma, you okay? Ma, everything all right? What's up, brother? How you feeling? Raise the name. I live upstairs, yeah. What's up, Ma? You okay, Ma? You sure? Hey, brother, how you doing? I'll be right upstairs if y'all need me, okay? I know you ain't saying that to my mother, are you? Well, number one, he was not married to my mother. So I had no reason to give him that much respect yet. But it's different if they're married to your mother and loving her teenagers and providing and going to work every day and trying to love you, then you owe that individual respect. At some point after they have loved your mother or father, you have to begin to say, because what's this? Teenagers, children, you can't be selfish. Your mother made some mistakes before and after you were born, but she deserves to be happy. Part of her being happy is you accepting the divine assignment, man, and quit being so selfish because you want her to yourself. You can't love mama like a man can. You can't love your father like another woman can. So if you're really a person that loves your parent, you'll say, Mom, I accept this person. I'm going to love them, and let's be happy, because we have a right to be happy. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, I got to say this to you individuals who are in the house, and you walked in the house and she or he had children when you got there, when y'all got married, that child is not yours. Hear me. Walk in your authority. Look at me. After you have loved that mother or loved that man in front of them, be who you are. Don't tiptoe where you pay rent. What we often do, and I've seen it happen, is when a man has children or a woman has children, we go out of our way. I've seen this. I've been doing this all my life. Please hear me. To make the child from the outside feel like they are the queen. You treat his child better than you treat yours. Why? Trying to prove to this child that you love her. You can't let kids manipulate you. When you come over my house on the weekend, you're gonna do the same thing my kids do, or take your nappy head back to your mama and don't come over here no more. No, don't get me mad. I don't wanna get mad. I'm on TV. In other words, Pastor, you ain't got your Bible in your hand. This ain't in the Bible. I look for it. I did. I've been studying this all my life. Ain't nothing in the Bible about what I'm teaching. Why? Because it was never God's will. God never wrote the Bible according to sin. He wrote it according to holiness. So when you go looking for something to explain to people, so I have to teach this experientially because I'm living it, and I have to teach it from the Holy Ghost because there is no chapter on step-parents. Listen to me, listen. So I asked the Holy Ghost, show me, and I got to write a book about this because people need this and they don't know where to go. Please hear me. Somebody who's living it and got the Holy Ghost is the perfect person to do this thing. So y'all help God lead me on this. But understand, here's what you got to understand. When the three children are sitting there, your child and his child, your both somebody's whatever, you silly. God. Okay, watch this. You see them sitting there. Whatever you got to say, say it to all of them. See, when you walk in, you know, hi, glad to have. No, look, all y'all go to bed. Wait, you better get your behind and go to bed like them too. I ain't got to go to bed. Why? Because seek normancy or the normalness of things as fast as possible. You see, just start treating them like they're yours, even if they don't call you mine.
The Rose of Sharon Baptist Church, located at 1401 Martin Luther King Drive in Alexandria, Louisiana, is currently accepting applications for the position of pastor. The Rose of Sharon Baptist Church is a 112-year-old church where our church family is Bible-based and Holy Spirit-led. It is incumbent that the next person God calls to pastor have gifts in leadership and communication, be an ordained minister, have pastoral experience, and or seminary training is preferred. The candidate must also complete and submit an application. The application deadline is December 31st. For more information and completed list of requirements and to obtain an application, please visit our website at www.roseofsharonbchurch.com. The Rose of Sharon Baptist Church of Alexandria is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
Boyce Community Funeral Home, owned by Reverend Herbert Green, is dedicated to providing high-quality funeral services. Our professional and friendly staff believes in offering unpressured decision-making, allowing arrangements to be made in the privacy of your own home. We also offer our clients a complete church facility with repast accommodations located in Pineville, Louisiana. Boyce Community Funeral Home offers pre-arranged funeral services and accepts all life and burial insurance policies and can pre-arrange your funeral service using your present insurance policy. We also supply in and out-of-state shipping. Boyce Community Funeral Home gives you and your family peace of mind today for tomorrow, offering compassion, comfort, and trust. We are located at 704 Longford Street in Boyce, Louisiana. Our phone number is 318-793-5125 or 318-613-8659. The website is www.boycecommunityfuneralhome.com. We are here when you need us. Boyce Community Funeral Home is a proud sponsor of KAYT.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.